Imagine your life as a string of lights, each bulb marking a moment that changed you. Now imagine adding a vibrant new bulb to that string, a brand experience so powerful it becomes an unforgettable part of who you are. That's the magic we chase at The Voice of Experience, your go-to podcast for the art, science, and secrets of making brands unforgettable. We'll crack open the craft of memory making to prove how experiences leave their mark and connect us to brands and products forever. This is your bite-sized masterclass of the mind-blowing science behind memories, real-world case studies of unforgettable experiences, and actionable takeaways that will have you seeing marketing and your brand differently. Welcome to The Voice of Experience. Let's make your brand shine brighter than ever before. Here are your hosts, Elke Jones and Max Linderman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Voice of Experience. Hi, Max.
Hi, Elke.
Summer is officially here. Are you excited?
I am excited. I'm actually, it's like this part of the year is my favorite part. It's like everyone's back outside. Everyone's bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. I love it.
I like seeing people's arms. It's like a weird thing with me.
I know. And, you know, every city has its own threshold of when you just come out and like in shorts and a tank top. Like in Montreal, it's like 45 degrees. You know, New York is like 60. So yeah. you got to hit that threshold and everyone just starts disrobing.
I love it. So, Max, you love it when we have guests. You've said this to me many times. So today we are joined by another very special GMR guest, Krista Hansen.
Woohoo! Hello.
I know. So I'm going to share a little bit about Krista. I mean, you know this already, but not our listeners. Krista is a longtime GMR veteran that was recently named our very first female chief creative officer.
Whoop, whoop.
Yes, big whoop whoop to that. Amazing. And Krista is a people first, heart led, experienced design leader, passionate about building talented teams. We've seen her do that. And she possesses extensive world-class event design, partnership, Olympic and Super Bowl knowledge. And Krista also served as former president of United Ad Workers in Milwaukee. She is fierce, and we are super glad to have her joining us today. So welcome, Krista.
Thank you, Elke and Max. I'm honored to be here. Thanks
for
having me.
We are so happy to have you. Yes. And we've got another good topic lined up for today. And I am excited because I'm going to take advantage of the fact that I have this creative brain power together in one space. So I would love to discuss creative risk taking and the future role of human intuition when it comes to experience marketing. What do you think?
Let's go.
That's a wordy title, and I'm all for it.
It's a lot of words in my mouth, yes. So I have prepped a few questions for you both, and I was hoping we could just ping pong a bit. But Krista would love to start with you. First question, how do you personally balance data-driven insights with gut instinct when making creative decisions in experience marketing?
Oh, good one, Elke. I'll be honest. I often start with my gut. I'm a highly intuitive person. Mm. I'm really focused on what's next, not just what's now. I like to think about the future ahead and how my intuition leads me personally to a new space, a new thought, a desire. And I love that data-driven insights work as validation for my intuition. It served me pretty well. And I love when those two things coalesce.
I love that. Max.
I'm fully on board with gut. Like it's honestly,
you're all gut.
I mean, it has to be gut first, right? And to the validation point is for me at least, and you know, I might be like more old school, but the validation and the most data that I like seeing is like ROI from the client, right? Or like increase in sales, or you know, even like just awareness numbers or anything of that nature. But I do completely admit that like the world is going more towards the symbiosis. So not an over-indexing of gut, but really a 50-50 of gut and data. And, you know, the ability to have the self-awareness of that gut intuition and apply tooling to that gut intuition, I think is where the magic does happen.
Yeah, I agree with you both. You said it well. I believe that data is, that's how we fact check. And I think even insights come from a place of intuition, like the best insights that I've seen anyway, informed by data, of course, or validated. I think, Krista, that was your word. But the coolest stuff comes from a strong point of view and just some your spidey senses. I think, anyway.
I love spidey senses.
Right?
You know, like,
so
you know,
do I.
I mean, isn't it like, Krista, like when you know, and it's tough to talk about it in dismissive terms, but you know it when you see it, right? Or you know it when you feel it.
Feel
or,
it.
You know, you just kind of like, and we talk a lot about senses, right? And we also have to apply the awareness of what our bodies are doing when we see interesting things or when we feel it or when we see something. Like, we often ignore the little bit of the, you know, skin crawl or a little bit of the like head scratch, like where you get an itch, you know, sometimes, like, at least for me, overshare alert. Like if I see something kind of cool, I get jittery. Right. Yeah. And if I notice that I am getting jittery, I'll have a lot more awareness about what I am getting jittery about and gets me even more jitterier. So gut is great. But like, how do you harness it? Right. And know it when you see it. Like, I'm curious, like, what happens to you, like, physically or emotionally or mentally?
Yeah, I mean, in my gut, gosh, you know, it's that sense that, like, when that shiver goes up your spine or you get a little bit of goosebumps, like, you literally physically feel what it is that you're reading or experiencing. And that kind of resonance really sticks with you over time. And it's your system. It's your regulatory system telling you what you're going after is right. Like, this is feeling good. As much as you might read it and think it's great, when you feel it, it unlocks a whole new level of understanding. And I think that's probably the most powerful thing as a creative, that, you know, the gift we have.
Yeah,
intuition.
I get to be on the sort of receiving end of watching you guys when that happens. And there's nothing like it, because you know you're onto something. You know, you like know you're onto something. So very cool. All right, Max, and I would love both of you to answer this question, but I'll start with you. Where do you draw the line between a calculated risk and recklessness in experience design?
I mean, first and foremost, obviously, in my head is the kind of like feasibility, accessibility, safety, you know, like largesse for largesse sake. Like, what's the real intention for that recklessness, right? Like, because to me, it's like you could be a motocross champion and, you know, or you could be Evel Knievel. You're both jumping a bike, right? But like, for what reason? You know, for Evel Knievel, I would put into the more reckless and kind of individualistic kind of sense, whereas a motocross, you know, God, I'm murdering this metaphor, but I'm going with it. Like, a motocross rider would, like, basically, you know, it's for a goal, right? To like win or compete or to like get beyond something, and it probably would take more risk to win and not be reckless, because wiping out wipes out the field, right? And everyone doesn't want to work with that motocross person anymore. Okay, so
land the plane, Max.
I'm landing this plane. If it's risky for your own ego, it's reckless, and then that's why you have to stop.
Oh,
if
that's
it's risky for, like, if it's risky because you want to push a client into uncharted territories, keep going.
Oh, I love that. Krista, what do you think?
I have a little bit different of a take, but I love where you're going with that, Max. So recklessness to me is when we choose to not, we choose the absence of data, insights, and strategy in our work. When we don't look past our own perspective and we choose to not consider the perspectives of others or audiences less considered, I think we walk the line of recklessness for a not so good sake.
I love that.
That
I love
is
that.
So good. Oh, yes.
You know, we have a group at GMR called Perspectives Practice, and the group's purpose is not remotely to tell you whether the work is great or not. What they are there to do is expose us to risk, to expose us to maybe an underrepresented group that could take offense to the work in a way we would never intend. And so for me, So as long as we understand the value ratio of risk to reward and then the client buys into that, I think we can avoid the mess of recklessness. But we got to get started in the right place, consider all the important pieces, and most importantly, consider the perspectives of others.
They're really good pithy nuggets in here, you guys. It's good stuff. Really good stuff. Max, were you going to say something else, or
I'm just a little bit taken back by the small thread of my like recklessness equals myopia or non-self-awareness or doing things the way you've always done it, right? Like, and it leads me to the, you know, the notion of like the most reckless thing you could do is to rely on what you know. And it just feels like, especially in our industry and the, you know, commercial creativity in general, you know, you could almost sense the decline of an agency or a concern or a creative when they continue to rely on what they know, and that they have that, like, you know, seniority or ego that allows them to continue to rely on what they know, or like the logo soup on their website that says, look at all these great brands that we work with, that makes them reliant on what they know. And I think that is the most reckless thing ever, is to just rely on the same thing over and over again.
Yeah,
totally.
Yes. However, I think there's a fine line that you walk, because, you know, the first question was around intuition and gut, right? So I think sometimes you draw upon what you know, or your lived experience, or whatever those things are. So agree with what you're both saying, but I do think that there's a role for what you bring to the brief or to the challenge. It's just part of the mix, should be anyway.
I honestly think that's the high wire act
that every
really good creative, you know, like, walks every day.
It's hard. It's really hard.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
To do it well. But anyway, great discussion. All right, next question, kind of a two-parter. So, Krista, I'll throw this one your way. First part, if you could design the perfect, since we're talking about risk, creative risk lab, what would it look like and how would you measure success?
Oh, this is so good. I had so many ideas, but for me, it's really about creating an environment where people have to push into spaces that are less comfortable for them. Because growth does not happen where comfort lies. We know that. And I think there's another side of this too, which is like talking about your feelings at work. Because when you actually get under the heart of, or get into the heart of what's at the core of what we're doing, I think we can tap into rich territories. So I'd really push for deeper discussion about how the creative work can really make you feel, how you can walk away from it, and how you can leave others feeling. So feelings are a big thing for me. So I would really push into a place where we put a little uncomfortable into the moment for folks.
That's cool.
I've always, you know, Krista, you've heard me say this, and Elke and anyone, you know, that high wire act could be just the notion of being comfortable with the uncomfortable. And that to me is very much attached to feelings, self-awareness, empathy, you know, communication style, et cetera, and just like all the cues that can be sort of like combined and worked with in order to thrive in the notion of being uncomfortable, right? And I do think that there's a lot of, you know, we spend 8 to 9 to 10 hours a day working, like all of us, right? Like sometimes even more. And it's really hard to talk to someone about, like, hey, do you want a career where a third of your time is going to sometimes, you know, almost all the time, be uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Because you're dealing in the new, and it's high pressure, and it's a, you know, winner take all kind of situation. These are all uncomfortable things. And so you almost have to, it's, you know, not to equate it to other industries, but you have to assume the uncomfortability.
Yeah.
In order to really thrive in an industry like this.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to be too woo-woo, but feelings, like, we don't talk enough about feelings. Chris, I kind of agree. I mean, you're both hitting on the significance of feelings. And anyone who's worked on a pitch, I think, will relate to this. When you put your full self into the work, like, you feel the work, you guys know what I'm talking about, then you are so exhausted and drained after you present that work because of the feelings you've attached to it. And that is oftentimes a wide range of emotions. And to me, that is part of the formula for really like award-winning work.
It's that moment when the adrenaline like rushes out of your body. And you can literally feel it.
It's like that dump.
It's a weird, there's kind of no better feeling than that. I did it and I brought it all.
Yeah, you can see it on everyone's faces. And that's why we love this business, right?
I mean, that's how you know you didn't phone it in.
Yeah.
Your body tells you.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's... You'll hear me talk a lot about like the competitive nature of this industry as well, right? And I've never known any athlete or a competitive person who doesn't give it all, like even on training days, right? And your body tells you whether you had a good training day or not. I think it's the same thing here. We work in creativity. We work in a highly dynamic, ever changing, every day is a new challenge. And that takes energy to meet with, fun and energy and curiosity and open earedness every single day. That takes a lot of energy and your body will tell you, if you've done a good job or not.
Yeah, 100%. All right, I'm going to send this question to you, Max, then next question I'm going to save for you, Krista. So Max, has there ever been a time when following your intuition led to a spectacular failure?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think going back to what Krista said, right? It was following my intuition, blindly, led to spectacular failures. I mean, I think that there's certain things that clients would say when you've not won a pitch, right? And there's like a little bit of a cursory or just like a, hey, everything was great. We just decided to go in a different direction or something. There's a little bit of a letdown. There's been a few when the client just hasn't responded at all. Right? Where you just overshot. And that to me is a sign of, I didn't understand the assignment. Right? I didn't open myself up to what that audience, which is what the client needs, are really. Fantastic failure when you don't even get a thanks for pitching email.
Can I ask you a question about that, Max? Do you think, I'm not trying to throw shade, but do you think ego gets in the way sometimes?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And it's, talk about another high wire act, right? Where, for creatives, at least in advertising, we are one of those shows kind of like, the Oscars and the Grammys, right? Where we treat creatives and strategists, even account people as stars. Like we give them trophies. Khan is, a 15 days away. And the pageantry of Khan advertising rivals the pageantry of Khan film, right? And so imagine being surrounded by that kind of... ingratiating industry. Egos 100% our biggest enemy.
Yeah.
100% our biggest enemy.
Yeah. Thank you. That was great. Krista, I'm going to have you take us out on this last question, if you don't mind. What mindsets do you think will define the next generation of creative leaders in experience marketing?
I think this is my favorite question so far, Elke.
Good.
Gosh, I could list 100 things, but if I could boil it down, exercise ambition. Ambition is not something that you can learn, but it is absolutely something that you can find deeply within you. I think people need to be deeply curious. You have to understand the world past your own. I think it's important for the next generation of leaders to really hone in on and nurture their desire to learn. And be super connected to culture. Be a freaking good human.
Yeah.
Like we're in this world to create things for other humans to experience, but our experience matters too. So just be good to work with. Be a call brand. Be the leader you always needed. For me, I think the biggest piece here is like this desire to learn, even if it doesn't directly affect you today, aids in your mental growth over time. And ambition in our world is far greater and more grand than like 8 to 5. It's not like we can just like flip a switch on and be creative for 8 hours a day and then turn it back off again. Creativity for us is like, it's always flowing. And when you've got the ambition to power through, sometimes this can be really hard. I think those are the keys that can really unlock setting yourself up for future success. Like when I reflect back 10 years ago, I'd set a goal. I wanted to be a CCO at this point in my life. I had no fucking idea how I was going to get there, but I knew that I was hella ambitious and I never settled for mediocrity or the status quo. I just wasn't going to be okay with that. So I really focused on my personal desire to learn and grow, be a sponge to everyone around you, and really embrace the character traits that you want people to see you for.
Beautiful.
Because they're watching you and they're paying attention to you. So that,
I love that.
These are the things I think are going to, you know, really will help like the next level of creative leaders unlock in our world.
Beautifully said.
Yeah, love it. Is there any surprise? Yes. Any surprise why Krista is the chief creative officer of GMR Marketing?
The answer to that is
ta-da, zero. The best answer ever.
Exactly. Well, another amazing episode in the can. I actually took some notes, you guys, and learned a few things. I appreciate you both. Krista, we want to thank you for joining us today, and we will absolutely have you on another future episode. And Max, till next time, my friend.
Ta-ta, Elke. Thanks, Krista.
Thanks. Krista. Bye.
Have a good one. Bye.
The Voice of Experience is produced by GMR Marketing, an Omnicom experiential group agency. All content is the property of GMR Marketing. Join us next time for more knowledge, data, insights, and secrets of the art and science of making brands unforgettable. For more information, contact us at gmrmarketing.com.